The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
Opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the respective program contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome in. Take my hand. Say hello to who you know and who you don't and who you can. We'll give promise to your springtime and beginnings to your ends. We'll try not to be cautious, we'll be friends.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Visibilities. And I want to first of all thank Larry Gassman for his great job of streaming this and doing our podcast every week. And Sheila Young is hosting for us this evening, and I want to thank her as well. And I want to thank each and every one of you who have come with us tonight and or who are listening to us out there in ACB land or later on through the week or where else do we come up? We seem to be all over the place at times. I couldn't sleep one night this week. I woke up, went out to the kitchen to throw in some laundry and turned on the Lady A, and it was like, oh, wait a minute, I know her voice. I've heard those words before, and it was because they had come out of my mouth before. But it is, I should put out the schedule of what the when the replays are during the week, but I'll try to remember to do that soon. I want to introduce our guest for tonight, and I don't think he's, at least to a good number of us, he is not a stranger at this point, because he's been around now for a little better than 2 years. And one of the things that struck, that kind of made me think we should do this call tonight, besides the fact that when we did the sixth anniversary call a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying, so what are some of the calls that you folks have liked through the years? And at least six people said, Scott Thornhill. It was like, okay. I expected it to be some of the, some of the other things that we had done on early signs of dementia. And somebody did mention Patty Slaby's trip to Peru with the mission. And to the orphanages and all of that. But every other one was Scott Thornhill. So I said, I guess it's time I talk to Scott and ask him if he would be on. And the other thing that has always struck me, because it's become far restrictive, I'm not sure that's really the right word, but in more recent years, members in general do not have the opportunity to make a comment, ask a question, to participate in any way in an ACB Board of Directors meeting. And that's something, and I just think that feedback I think it's one of the best barometers of where people's minds are at, what people are thinking is important to them. So that's why I said tonight's call is, this is your opportunity to get an update from Scott, to ask him any questions or make any comments, that kind of thing. So, Scott, I have absolutely opened the doors totally on you. You may never speak to me again, I'm afraid.
That's all right. It's
what I think is...
I may not have the answers, but I'm happy to, happy to hear the questions for sure.
Anyway, with that, I'm going to introduce you all, anyone who hasn't already met him, to Scott Thornhill, who is the current executive director of ACB. And Scott, can you just give us a bit of an update on what's going on around the organization right now.
Sure. Happy to. Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure. It has been a while. I don't know. I don't think I can match up with like trips to Peru and other things, but I did just get back from Seattle. I guess that counts for something. To the East Coast here was at the Microsoft conference, the Ability Summit, and then the Blind Summit. They were kind of back to back this week. So, met with a lot of good folks and good information. And, so that's going on. We've got a good amount of advocacy happening with various of our, you know, legislative imperatives and other things that, you know, come up that are outside of our imperatives. We can't obviously have everything be an imperative, or I guess nothing would be imperative, but we do a lot of advocacy work happening. You're hearing the Speak For campaigns come out. The, you know, Speak for those who don't know, is a platform that we leverage for members to be able to speak out and reach out to their elected officials, federal or state as might be needed. And, but we've got that and some other advocacy items. We will be bringing on our legal counsel, Brian Kempfer, will be starting on June the 8th. So, that's just a couple of weeks away. He'll be joining our staff. And so we're excited to welcome Brian and what we believe can happen there in some various areas. Of course, the convention, we're in full swing. We will have a week from yesterday. So on Thursday, the 28th, registration will open for members to register for the 2026 convention in St. Louis, which will be the in-person portion, will be July 24th through the 31st. So certainly from a staff standpoint and otherwise, we're in full swing with that. Lots of stuff happening. There's just, always something going on. You know, I laugh sometimes when people say, well, let's wait, you know, like over the holidays, people say, let's wait till January to do that. Now January's gotten all full and now it's wait till the after the convention. So August, you know, August becomes crazy busy because everything gets pushed till August. But there's a lot, in the various areas of what we're doing, in different program areas. So.
And you have someone else on staff now who many of us are seeing a lot from, and that's
Caitlin in development or
no Harp.
Grace.
I couldn't think of her first name.
Yeah, Grace.
It was her name. It totally went out of my head.
Grace Hart. She's our operations administrator. She's filling a very interesting role and a very demanding role, frankly, where she is supporting really what is the accessibility consulting and compliance services program area. Just rolls right off the tongue. But ACCS and so that includes advocacy and accessibility, and part of the strategy there, you know, they do overlap, as everyone knows, you know, certainly advocacy and accessibility, but part of the approach there was earned revenue, earned income for the organization through some accessibility services and things along those lines. And so, but Grace is supporting, and she'll also be supporting Brian when he comes on board. So she supports Claire and Colby currently, and then Brian when he comes on board, and kind of brings that together. And she'll also be working a lot with our interns, which we just brought on two new interns. We had about a week and a half or so gap between our last intern, Emma, and our two new interns that'll be with us. And we're really trying to, as we move forward, enhance the intern program, open up more opportunities, because I believe interns can be really a win-win all the way around for them to support multiple program areas that we have. So, yeah, Grace is on board and doing a great job. So super glad to have her on staff.
That's what we would. I know people have been wondering whether she was actually doing some of the advocacy, because so much of it's coming out under her name these days.
Yeah, on the announced list, you know, she'll certainly send out the updates. She works with Claire on that. She works with Claire and gets that sent out. And you know, certainly this week she's been helping quite a bit with some things related to our accessibility area, and our interns came on board. So she's been helping them get acclimated, and then she'll be preparing for Brian coming on board.
Will you have, so, Are the interns for the summer or?
Yeah, they. You know what, Terry? I'll just be completely frank about this. I don't remember. The last ones that we've had quarter interns, and the reason being is that we were doing a lot through the University of California system because Claire really had a connection there from her own experience, and so they are on quarters. But Emma, who was with us from George Washington, in D.C., was on a semester, so she was with us a little bit longer. And one of our interns here is from George Washington, and so I believe she'll be with us for a little bit longer than the typical quarter. So I think we may have one for a quarter and one for a semester. So some can be with us just for, you know, about 3 months, and then some will be with us for more like 4 months. So
yeah. Yeah, we used to do it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. We used to do it with Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
With Georgetown,
yeah, so we had George Mason, Georgetown, Washington.
Georgetown, and they would also. What was nice was they also would pick up the room, and I forget mm-hmm. if it included the board or not for our summer interns, so we could bring in our own members. As yeah. interns, and that worked out very, very
yeah.
well. Some yeah. people that are, I think Eric, no, it wasn't Eric, it was Rebecca Bridges, I think was an intern mm-hmm. 1 year that way. Richard Rowetta, mm-hmm. who everyone knows from APH now, yeah. was involved in it that way. There's a number of them that I think that's, it's also a good, resume building piece that we can help our own membership with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's something I really want to grow. We kind of have to do it in a way that's sustainable. That's part of it. I don't want to take on too much at one time, but I think it's something we can definitely grow, and it can help. And again, a win-win. I think it can help our various program areas and obviously, you know, benefit the interns from a resume standpoint and just from a knowledge standpoint. So I think it's a great opportunity to really build that out.
Okay. Let me ask you something else that I think this would be a good group to mention, and that's what's going on with the focus groups and
yes.
how people
yes.
get involved in the focus group.
Yeah. So emails have been sent out. There will be more information sent out. You can also, if need be, you can call the office to get connected there if that's going to be easier. But our Mount Vernon Consulting, who is working with us on ACB Forward, which is our legacy and future readiness initiative, really to prepare ACB for what things are going to look like in the years to come and making sure that we maintain the things that are important to members, you know, from a legacy standpoint. But certainly as you have an opportunity to sign up for those, please do. We're pushing, I believe, 150 individuals so far have signed up. We had a lot of folks that participated at DC Leadership in interviews and, you know, just trying to get as many voices heard as possible. So, I would encourage folks to respond to those emails. More will be coming out as we continue to, advertise, for lack of a different word, bring awareness to that initiative. And then, as I mentioned, you can also, if need be for your situation, if you need to call into the office to do that, you can do that as well.
And that's also something I just want to mention to everyone. Yeah. That's something that we actually, as the majority, really the majority membership, part of the membership of this organization, have done the most responding to it, but we have the opportunity to contribute and for many of them, you know, like this Mount Vernon Consulting, like so many of the young people that are being brought into leadership today, this is a great opportunity for them to learn what has worked and what hasn't worked and why it should and why it should not be continued, that type of thing. Because we are the ones that have the most experience in this organization mm-hmm. and have stuck with it the longest. And I think yeah. I would love to see everyone on this call, make that, take that, what is it? Yeah. 45 minutes, I think it is, to, do the interview on that. And so I personally am just going to very strongly recommend it to all of you to do that
please do.
Survey.
there's been good representation, you know, across the board. As with a lot of things, there's a lot of really strong sort of people signing up percentage wise, sort of in the, I don't know, say middle age group, I guess. And then also with the way they're kind of separated out, older age group. But we also have good representation in younger, I think 23.
We do, yeah. I think it goes over 64 and under 40 or something like that with the two highest numbers.
Yeah.
Which actually makes a lot of sense because it does. Because people, you know, blindness is not, I think a lot of people remember when people would rail against saying, I'm a blind, you know, we're talking about blind people. It was people who are blind. Mm-hmm. And that's the age range when people are dealing with their own lives, and blindness is a part of it, but it's not the primary, the primary piece any more than the color of their hair or, you know, anything like that. I think that's the middle group there, that 40 to 64, that's when they're beginning to come back, be able to come back. And I think we need to really, you know, get those people much more involved, on an as needed basis, because they're also the ones that are out working every day and, usually have among the lowest, unemployment rate of us, and, are the ones who just, you know, are dealing with getting their kids off to in high school or college or what have you, and, you know, maybe looking to change home, change from a starter house to a, you know, to something, to a two-story colonial, or move from the two-story colonial to back into a different environment. Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, folks, we're going to be getting back into that whole issue of housing for seniors again within the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of people lining up, who couldn't do it right away.
That's why you're stuck with me.
No,
you're right. I mean, it's
he's on here tonight, truthfully, because he threatened to walk away when I disagreed with him at the board meeting the other night.
I said, I'm coming. You don't have to tell me. No, but I, you know, you're right. There's all age groups. I hear it's really interesting when been fortunate enough to go to a number of the different affiliate conventions and listen to what, you know, what happens. I mean, obviously there's, you know, meeting people and spending time with people. And, I frankly try to avoid their board meetings or certain things just so I don't get in the way or, you know, but occasionally, you know, I will listen or just sort of be there. And it's fascinating the mix of people that we have. We certainly could say demographics, you know, we focus, you know, age groups, maybe more in one particular age group than another, but it's very interesting when you hear what people are focused on, why they participate in ACB or why they don't, or why they're a member, but they don't participate, why they, you know, just different things. It's very, very interesting to me. It's hard to be all things to all people. That's a difficult thing to do, but I do think there are some things that strain that runs through everything in terms of why people want to be a part of something. So back to what you were saying on this, on the, with the ACB Forward and this initiative, is we really do, you know, want to hear from as many people as possible, because like you were saying, Terry, if we don't, you weren't saying it like this, but I'm kind of reframing it. You know, if we don't hear from folks, right, then the results and the information we get are going to be a little skewed. So we need to hear from as many people as we can, because it will influence ultimately sort of what comes out of this work, and then what recommendations are brought to the board, and then what decisions are made about how we move forward. And so really want to hear from a lot of folks. So thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to be sure, because this is an open forum for everyone who's on this call tonight. So if anyone does have any questions or comments or anything like that, please feel free to raise your hand and we'll be glad to call on you. Yeah. And, at any time. And In the meanwhile, feedback. We're still on feedback. There's the this thing, the Mount Vernon focus, the what was legacy. ACB Forward. I'm going to get the name of this thing changed in my head.
Let me just tell you, Terry, I tried to come up. I sometimes really like acronyms. So there were several words, you know, that I came up trying to find acronyms that would work. And finally was like, you know what? We're way too hard at finding an acronym here. And nobody's going to remember what the letters stand for anyway. So we settled on ACB Forward with the sub.
I think it's a good
Legacy and Future Readiness Initiative, because it really does describe, you know, holding on to those things that are precious to members of ACB, and because we want to, I personally and others do, everyone, you know, want to honor those things that are, you know, from a legacy standpoint of the organization, 65 years this year. So we want to honor those things and then prepare for the future and what that looks like. And so it's a combination of those things. And that's a balance. It's a balance. So it's important, as we said, to hear from folks.
It is. Do you know what Visibilities is?
I don't think I do.
It's Visually Impaired Seniors Have Abilities.
Okay.
Because so many of us have, you know, today there are so many people who are losing vision later in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are also so many of us who have been visually impaired most, if not all, of our lives. And they're very often the ones who get lumped. Everybody gets lumped together. Right. And so if you've got somebody who's lost their vision in the last 6 months, their abilities are not going to be the same as someone who's been legally blind or totally blind since birth and 78 years ago or something like that. And that was kind of the point, was to make the, excuse me. That was kind of the whole point when I came up with that word, was to separate people out, not to say we're better than you, something like that. I don't mean it that way at all, but to get the idea across that everyone has different abilities. And, you know, whether you're, you know, you can have people that have been visually impaired for 50 years and that are not at all the same. That, you know, one of them may choose to live in their parents' basement and listen to the radio all day long. And others may be out doing a non-blindness related career. It's, you know, everyone is different, but everyone's everyone's abilities need to be recognized, and they should be respected for them. Okay, that's my little speech.
That's great.
What else do? Well, I'm not seeing any hands, folks. This is a quiet group. They're all sitting in awe of you, Scott. That must be it. It's like everyone is set on mute. You can unmute anytime, folks, and raise your hands. The convention is coming up, essentially the virtual week before the in-person week is primarily affiliates, meetings, and but we are doing a change. Yeah. One of the things that came out in the board meeting Monday night, I just stop and think, what day of the week is this? Monday night is that we are doing a change. We're trying something new and different on the elections this year, hopefully shortening the time for it, though I'm not sure, because we did hear that some people believe that most every position is going to be contested this year, so that could run into a lot of elections. We might need those two early days. It could be a horror show. We'll have to see. But I think I think the idea of starting them early is probably a good one. We'll have to see how that works out.
I try to stay out of that stuff as much as I can. but I will say that, I think the whole idea being that, right, that people really, at least, I don't know, anecdotally or maybe even in more expressed ways, do not want to have elections after the convention. And it feels like there's probably more apathy after the election than there would be before the election. So, you know, try to do it before, because if there could be quite a few of them between the board of directors and the board of publications, there could be quite a few.
Yeah. There could be as many as 16 people running. Actually, it could even be more than that. At least if you, as Deb was saying, she thought that all the positions on the board may be contested. So, right, for that alone is 10 people.
Well,
if you're going to contest, then you've got to have two for each. You just double them. I guess my math is showing too well. That we're looking at that potential. So I think this might be a really interesting way of doing it this time. And it's probably the best year to do it. Diane Hum. You can unmute. There you are.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say hi and tell everybody that I got my ticket, my plane tickets today for the convention. So all I have to do now is register next week and I'll be all set.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I was excited to get, you know, always once you get the plane tickets and you know, it's really going to happen. So, and of course I got the hotel a while ago. So, you know, now I just register and I'll be there. So looking forward to meeting you, Scott, and you, Terry. And,
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it, but I'm trying. I'm working on it.
We'll understand if you can't, but you know, cause, yeah, you know, things happen, so, you know.
That's it.
All right. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Diane. You'll be coming from the West Coast.
Yeah, that's great. I one of the things I was going to point out, pending other questions or anybody has anything else they wanted to share,
We do have two more, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. Good. I can wait. I'll wait.
The next one's Eric. Eric?
Hear me?
There you go.
Okay. Is there any changes far as to speak for stuff going through Congress recently? Like the accessibility and media and stuff?
Not been a whole lot. The CVTA, which is the subsequent bill to the CVAA, was introduced, which we put that information out a few weeks ago now. But there's always activity. So this is one of the things that may or may not, you know, sort of show up sometimes, is that there's advocacy going on. So we have people, you know, on Capitol Hill or in meetings, and we do a lot of collaborative work with other organizations as well as on our own. And so sometimes it's, you know, we have additional sponsors, for example, that may pop on to this bill or that bill. And, you know, those kind of things can happen. But in terms of actual movement of the bills, it's I think people say this all the time. We're in an interesting time in Congress. You know, I was at a conference one time and I heard somebody say it's a really interesting time on Capitol Hill. And I was like, I don't think I've ever been to a conference where somebody said it's a really, you know, not interesting time on Capitol Hill. because there's always something. It's just the way that politics and all that works. But right now, what a lot of people are doing from strategy standpoint is, you know, so here we are, Memorial Day weekend, you know, the traditional start of summer, which can mean, you know, certain things. Now, a lot of things still happen in Congress over the summer. They have their August recess, but they still do a number of things between now and then. So what will happen is people start to look at the bills that are moving. You know, so what are those things like the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, or that one traditionally, you know, is one of the very few that gets passed every single year, essentially. So people start to look at where they can get things, you know, put in something that is moving on Capitol Hill, you know, because in an election year, which we're in a midterm election year, things can, to say that things are political in Washington is sort of like saying, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's one of the most obvious things you could ever say. But the reality is, in an election year, it gets even more politically driven, where people kind of go into their corners and don't want to help each other get something passed because it gives the other party or an individual something they can kind of hang their hat on for an election. And so they try to find things that are moving. And there are very few of those, typically two or three things that get bipartisan support. And if you can do that, then you can have an opportunity. Unfortunately, a number of the items we work on just aren't going to necessarily fit with those bills or have a champion that really gets them in there. So we have to press hard. And something that Claire Stanley and I talk about, our director of advocacy and governmental affairs, we talk about is, you know, I really, in some cases, I'm competitive and I want to push harder and let's do this. And sometimes that works. And sometimes you have to finesse it a little bit more. So, but the real update is that at the moment, nothing is imminent. You know, nothing is imminent to the point where it's happening. I will say there's also what's called, you know, messaging bills. And so you'll hear that a lot where something gets introduced, somebody pushes it, right? And the idea is that it's probably not going to pass, but you educate a lot of people and you prepare for the next session and whatever it might be. And at any given time, there's a balance. You have some that you're pushing to pass and some that are messaging where you're trying to educate people and get more folks to understand the situation. So we'll keep everybody updated as much as we can. The team, we talk about that and between, you know, Claire and Grace and, me working with them and otherwise, but, you know, the biweekly, information coming out about advocacy and then any updates on Speak Four. But Speak Four, I'm happy to say the board the other night, we had a good discussion about Speak Four and there's some kind of some pros and cons from a financial standpoint. Terry would say, you know, but we will be maintaining, you know, Speak Four. It's been really strong. We've had almost 2,000 unique users of our Speak Four account, and that is just phenomenal. It's really exciting to me that many people have gotten involved.
Yeah, I do that every time something comes out or redo it.
It's great. Thank
you. Yeah, maybe after a couple of weeks or so, redo it again, because sometimes you just look at it and toss it.
Yeah, and we're averaging, people are doing, it's, you know, obviously this is an average, it's not, but about six uses per user. So almost, you know, roughly 2,000 unique users and about 12,000 total emails through our account. So that's very exciting to me that, and one of the things that we can start doing is switching up some of the messaging. You know, people can already do that where they can write their own thoughts in the email. But one of the other things we can do is start changing some of our subject lines a little bit so that when an office receives it, they may not, you know, it may not look like they're getting 25 from or 20 from the same, you know, from the same organization necessarily. It can look a little bit different. And so we've got some ideas to make that even more impactful than it has been. So thank you for doing that.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. And excited for the states too, by the way. Sorry, Terry, I would say the affiliates that have decided to do their own Speak Four campaign. If anyone wants to do that, just reach out to advocacy@acb.org and let Claire and the team know that you'd like to do one for your affiliate, because we've had quite a few state affiliates now do that on their own. And we have the ability through Speak Four to do that to the state elected officials. So that's for something on the state level.
And that does cost your affiliate.
It's $75.
That.
Yep. It's $75.
Oh, okay. I thought,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's $75 and you get, you know, Claire and Grace basically manage that. So they will help, you know, write the letter for you. And then they'll send it to you. And then you just send it out to your team with the link to your affiliate or whoever you want to send it out to with the link. And then they let you know, how many are doing the emails, you know, all that kind of stuff. They keep you posted on that. So.
I see. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Kimmick.
Hey, it's Kinnick.
Hey there. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm doing really good. I finished my senior year of high school.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You're getting old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is awesome.
So I was wondering, Scott, what is your favorite thing about either national conventions or ACB in general?
My favorite thing about the national convention and ACB in general, and anyone who spends a significant amount of time with me would know this or has heard me say it, is being around people. For better or for worse, I'm a extrovert, and I really enjoy, you know, we can get so, and I'll just say it the way I'm thinking it and feeling it right now is, you know, we can get sometimes on the national, you know, quote, you know, at the national office or just in general, looking at ACB from a national standpoint, right? Where there's issues, there's always advocacy issues we're working on, or there's, sometimes it's something organizationally that is, you know, either of a concern or we're constantly either, you know, trying to raise money one way or another. But when I get to go to an affiliate convention, you know, or the national convention and actually get to be with everybody, it gives me such a strong and clear reminder of why we do what we do, on a daily basis. Cause you know, what we do on a daily basis can either be stressful or it can be, you know, it's not always, frankly, tons of fun. You know, we enjoy what we do, but it's not, you know, a barrel of laughs. And so when you get with people and you find out, like talking to you or talking to, you know, others about what's going on in their lives and then you can reconnect as to why what you're doing is important. So that's my favorite. It's just being around people. I enjoy hearing and learning, and I always learn something new when I get to spend time with everybody. So that's my favorite.
And I think, and quite honestly, there are people who have really good people skills and people who don't.
Yeah.
And Scott does. And I think that's one of the best things. I think that's one of the best attributes that you brought to the organization.
Well, I appreciate that. I try to. Not everybody likes the, you know, the extroverted personality. I can, you know, not every, you know, some people, it's too much, right? I can talk too much or whatever. But for me, I do, and I really have worked hard at and going to the different places, because you get such a feeling, to follow up on what Kenneth was saying. And Terry, I think you would say this too, is as you, when you go to different affiliate conventions and different parts of the country, or you talk to people, you learn more about, you know, that area and even uniquely what might be uniquely happening with that affiliate. And it's so interesting. I will tell you, one of the things for me, when I went to the Washington Council of the Blind Convention, out in Seattle in, I think it was October of 2024, that was really where, for me, the idea of, what's now going to be our step 2026 with having the youth at our convention in St. Louis, that was really when it hit me so hard. Was that year at the Washington convention, I believe it was 54 youth attended that convention with support from the Washington, and I'm going to get it wrong, but Division of Services for the Blind. It's something along those lines, DSB or something like that. It's,
right.
Each state is slightly different, so I'm going to get it wrong. But it really hit me that, you know, they had a separate track for them in terms of learning. And like you were saying earlier, Terry, you know, older individuals, the skills that they bring. And for me, there's something really special about bringing those things together. When you can have young people that are learning and just trying to figure out where they fit and what that journey looks like and getting through the obstacles, and maybe they don't have the self-confidence, maybe they're not sure. And then you can have older individuals who have, in a lot of cases, lived some version of that journey. It may not be exactly the same, but they can share with them about, you know, what it was like for them and how they got through it. And we all have those moments where we doubt ourselves. And there's just something really special to me about an organization that can bring those elements together. So I'm hoping that's the way things will go. So,
and I hope we do. And I think there are ways that we could improve that coming together.
Yeah, there's a place for everybody. Yeah.
Like to see us do that. Jean Marie.
Hi, Terry.
Hey.
So I have two questions. The first one, Scott, is from a long time ago. one of the requests you made of the board is that you could work remotely. And I thought, that's interesting. What is that about?
You wondered what it was about?
Yeah. Like, do you do that all the time? I mean, like 2 or 3 days a week, or
well,
do you have
a difficult
commute? Or
so my home is in North Carolina. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is kind of in the middle of North Carolina. Where are you located, Jean Marie?
Oh, I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon. Well, I'll be out there with you guys in October, so I look forward to that.
Oh, good. That's wonderful.
My first visit to Oregon ever.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I when I first started with ACB, I did have an apartment in Alexandria for a year. And I found that, and I had worked remotely in my last job for about 6 years, roughly, and traveled a lot. And I still do travel quite a bit. And I found that I was spending about 10 nights a month in my apartment in Alexandria, with travel and various things. And it just wasn't making a whole lot of sense. And my wife and my son were still in Greensboro, and there were some family, considerations, with my wife's mother is, she's a bit older. And there were some challenges there. And so it made sense for me. And my commitment was that I would, visit, be at the office, on a regular basis, which I've been doing, going up, almost monthly, depending on, various trips and things. And I pay my own way when I do that. So that's, for when I visit the office and I'm up there for that, unless it's something special. But yeah, so that was the point. There was nothing, too unique behind it, frankly, in today's, this day and age of remote work. But so it's, we've got ACB actually has interestingly, and it's an interesting dynamic because we have, it's not exactly a third, but we have really about a third of our office in Alexandria, about a third of our office in Minneapolis, and about a third of our office remote, or our employees remote.
Yeah.
It actually is probably a little bit more than a third remote, just based on the way we're set up. And, it is a balance. It is a balance.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to make sure that you know, the office dynamics and various things. So that's something that I definitely try to do to make sure that there's still that cohesiveness. And so I'll, go up and when I'm in Alexandria and go out with the have get lunch brought
out.
In for the team or, lunch out one day, just so you have that.
Yeah.
Nancy, I encourage Nancy to do that in Minneapolis with our team there. It's just, we work, it's a job, right? So that's you're meant to work.
There's a really good book I just read called Drive. By Pink is his last, Daniel Pink.
Okay.
And he talks about different work environments, and what you're saying is makes a lot of sense. And his whole thing is develop a results oriented work environment. So that means people can do whatever they're going to do as long as they get it done.
Yeah, you're right. And for me, that's my approach. And listen, I put trust in, here's how I put it. I trust people until they give me a reason not to, as opposed to the opposite, where it's like, well, you have to earn my trust. I look at people and I doesn't make me whatever. I just, my philosophy about it is I do put a 10 on everybody's forehead as a human being. Like you're a 10, right? You're a human being, one of God's creation, like you're a 10. As an employee, someone might not be a 10. they might be in a 3. But as a person, they have value. And so I for me, it's, how you treat people. And I heard somebody say something recently that really stuck with me. And I just in my head periodically on a flight or something, it'll pop in my head. And I've told some folks is that I want more for you than I want from you.
From you, yeah.
And so that's really the approach for me that I've really tried to take from a staff. So I don't always get it right. Believe me, I get it wrong, on a regular basis. But my hope is that, you pour into people, you try to help them grow. And if they achieve what it is, the goals and their highest potential, then the organization's going to be fine. We're going to achieve the goals we have, by building and helping people. So that's the approach. And sometimes, it's going to get wrong, or sometimes somebody burns you, but that doesn't mean you stop caring about people and wanting them to do their best. So
The other question I thank you.
Yeah.
The other question I have is about open source software. And I know you have some of that in the office. And I've been, this guy, Daniel Pink, he's so interesting. Uh-huh. I'm going to read all of his books, I think.
I'm sure he loves talks, that. That's good.
He talks about, he talks about open source and how, you know, it's an alternative and, you know, people need to really look at that. I probably won't be that person, but,
yeah.
You might, let me jump in here for a minute because we're starting to run a little bit shy on time. Mm-hmm. What you might want to do is look at WTOPFM, I think it's WTOP.com. And I believe it was there. I'm just about certain that's where it was. It was either there or WBZ out of Boston. One of the two recently interviewed him.
Hmm.
Oh, really? Daniel Pink?
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh. Thanks, Terry.
Okay.
I'll mute myself now.
All right.
See you in October.
See you in October.
That's very exciting to me. Are you our banquet speaker or something?
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, I don't have the whole list of things that, that I'm going to, but I'll be there and whatever I'm asked to do, I'll do. I might be selling raffle tickets or something. I don't know what I'm doing.
Hey, I got invited back when I was back years ago. I got invited to the California Council and I got to make lunch for everybody and the president's.
I mean, I like to cook, Terry. I like to cook, but I mean, you know, it might be hot dogs.
We were slamming sandwiches together like you wouldn't believe.
You do what you got to do, right? You do what you got to do.
I got invited to the president's suite for lunch, and I expected that we were going to have a catered lunch.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're doing bologna, huh?
It was me and two other people were supposed to make the sandwiches and pass them out to everyone else.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the lunch. Yeah.
Oh, that's that funny. Was Catherine Skyvers, though. She could get anybody to do anything.
That's funny.
I swear. All right. Melody, I know you have a question. Can you make it short?
Actually, this might be a good thing because it's a personal thank you, Scott. I received your email when I gave that 154 Denise Colley's Angel plaque, and it just meant so much to me personally. I don't know what to do with ACB leaders' pride and kindness and compassion. Thank you so much.
That's very sweet. Thank you.
Thank you, Melody. All right. I think that clears out our question, our hand raised hands for the moment, anyhow. Mm. Two more quick things. Well, one's quick. I'm not sure about the other one. something else that came up at the board of directors meeting the other night. And I am probably the one that should know the answer to this, but I'm going to see if Scott does. And that is, we have actually, it's not been publicized a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But we do have a feedback for anyone that wants to get an information, wants to send feedback on most any topic like we're doing here tonight. And it's feedback I'm not even sure what it is. None of us have been, we haven't been getting it. What it is it goes to Deb and then she decides where it should go from there. But we've kind of changed the policy on that the other night. And so I want people to start using it. I hope that, because I think it's something to keep that gives all of us both on the staff and, especially on the board of directors, the opportunity to have better communication with our general membership.
I've got it here, Terry.
Do you? What is it?
It is feedback. So FEEDBACK. Feedback at mail, MAIL. Just in case I needed to say that. feedback at mail.acb.org. So
thank
the
you.
Difference being it has mail in there. So it's not just acb.org. It's mail.acb.org. So feedback at mail.acb.org.
And we will now be getting anything that comes through on that. We will, the members of the board of directors will be getting a copy of each week. And so, and we might not get back to you in 24 hours, but we should be able to get back to you within a week or so. Within a week. And sometimes it will be, you know, that's kind of on the outside.
M-A-I-L, right?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Feedback just at mail.acv.org.
Okay.
All right. Now, the other thing, I'm looking to see if we have the time for the other thing. Let's see how fast we can do this one. Scott, I don't know if you want to get into this or if we should do this another night.
Okay, you've got 9 minutes, so you're good.
Yeah, I need a few of those because I've got two announcements to make too, though. IRPS.
Yes. Yeah, I certainly can. And it's, it is, I joked about it for those who listened to the board meeting. If you didn't, go back and listen to the board meeting. Very, very exciting. right, Terry? Very exciting. Very exciting. No, but it's always good to hear that because you get to hear what's going on with the governance. But
it is. It's so a good thing to go back and listen to that.
It is a good thing to listen to it. I think it's good to, you know, be informed, know what's going on.
We don't put out podcasts for the fun.
That's right. No, please listen to it 17 times, everyone. But it helps our podcast numbers. But no. So Terry mentioned IRPS. So it's information referral and peer support. And so I brought it up at the board meeting. I'll talk about it here. Since I started at ACB, I have found this area to be very interesting. It's very important. From the standpoint of serving members and frankly, non-members, it doesn't really, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't wholly matter if you're a member or not. If you call the ACB office, we're going to help however we can help. But INR is the first two would kind of be known, right? Information and referral. So that can fit a number of items, but if someone calls in and they're looking for information about a place near them that might be able to help them with vision rehabilitation training or whatever. And, you know, Hannah or Sharon or whoever's in the office, or if you call Minneapolis and you get Nancy Christine or Nancy Becker, one of the, you're going to give you information on, through a list that we use of sort of community support, you know, centers or different things like that. Depending on what someone's looking for, you'd be amazed the number of phone calls we get in the Alexandria office. But we get calls from family members. We get calls from all kinds of folks looking for information or referrals to, for example, you know, vocational rehabilitation. That part, I will tell you, is, and a lot of that is handled by staff. I mean, it's certainly things that can be done, depending on what it is. You know, members have that information in a lot of cases if they're involved and active. You know, that part is not quite as involved. Where the peer support part is where a lot of the discussion can occur, because it's sort of, you know, to what extent does ACB, you know, through our community events, you know, platform, obviously there is some peer support certainly going on where individuals are helping each other. But where the real discussion has come in with the Advocacy Services Committee and the Advocacy Steering Committee and otherwise is around, sort of to what extent do ACB members act on behalf of ACB when offering support to others? And in a sort of more, in a more professional sort of, or official manner, I guess you would say. And this is one I've really wrestled with, Terry, and I mentioned it at the board meeting, because when I first came in, it really was not clearly defined to me. There was some tracking, but it was kind of loosely, and there's been some attempts to do tracking because we list this as one of our main program, one of our primary programs. We put it in our 990 report, which is our, you know, the IRS report that we do. We put it in our annual report, about the time that we spend in IRPS or IRPS. And yet there's a little bit of sort of some unknowns. And so I've embarked on this. I may regret it, Terry, at this moment, but I've embarked on just really trying to figure this out, because if it's going to be a primary program, the thing is we do so much of this already that it almost sometimes feels like maybe we're getting something. I don't know. I don't want to say getting something stirred up that we don't need to, but we do so much of it already and helping each other and the different things that by trying to formalize some of it, it could be, I don't want to stymie, you know, people helping each other. we obviously want to make sure that it's done in a way that you know, is reflects well on the, you know, certainly on the organization, but also that people are getting the true support. And as you mentioned, Terry, something that I wanted to point out, you know, we have a lot of members who are very well qualified in a lot of different areas. They're very well qualified, and I don't even think you were, I don't think it was on this subject that you were talking about it, but we have a lot of members who are, you know, they've been in, you know, VR counselors, or they just all kinds of things. They may have worked in Social Security, or they've worked in the IRA, who knows what, but they have areas where they can help other people. And it's a matter of what that looks like from an organizational standpoint. So we're going to be getting some member feedback, going to committees, having discussions around this. I don't know that we'll ever agree 100% that this is exactly how it should be done. But if we're going to have it as one of our primary programs, we definitely need to have it defined. That's kind of my position on it is, you know, if it's going to be there, then it needs to be defined. We need to understand it at least. Otherwise, how do we track it? How do we know what's going on? And so that's really the discussion point around it.
All right. Well,
yeah, very exciting, huh?
Well, that one is
important.
That was the one that you yeah. and I had the discussion on the other night.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with a lot
because
of great
there are
expertise.
A lot of tremendous expertise. We've got, we have, as members of this organization, we have doctors and lawyers and you know, that kind of thing, who are members, who are, you know, just so much more qualified to talk about, let's just say low vision, a low vision specialist, you know, who is a doctor. And he certainly can tell the same, can tell you more about that topic than I, who's been 75 years with low vision, you know, that it's not just the experience. I'm thinking we've got people who work on major corporations' help desks so that they, you know, they have huge information on accessibility and assistive technology and that kind of thing. And, you know, we need to, I just don't see where we, you know, we need to, you know, I guess the way I look at it is if somebody has been willing to become a member of the organization, then we shouldn't turn our backs on them. We shouldn't, we shouldn't, to me, it's a disrespect. I guess that's kind of where I was at on it. But with that, I want to thank you very much for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure.
And I do have two quick announcements. One of them is good news and one of them is not so good. Oh my God, we're up to 59. Scott, you and I both talk too much.
I'm gonna be quiet now. I'm just gonna listen.
what I need now is anyone who's a member of an organization, of an affiliate, whether it's a state of special interest that's elected your current president within the past, say, over the past 6 years, since after convention last year, I'd love to have those presidents on to talk about what they want to do and what they are doing with their affiliates. And would you please have them get in touch with me ASAP, because I want to do it next week and the week after. Thank you very much. The other thing is a bit of sad news to many of you who have been involved with the VA, maybe through the years. And that is, we've known for the past couple of weeks that Sue Bowes was in hospice and she did pass away yesterday. And I don't have much more details than that yet, but I know that that's being put together, I think primarily by Pat Sheehan. And with that, I want to wish you all a great week ahead. And I do want to thank, this is the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. And so I do want to thank any and all of you who are family members or are veterans for your service, because I think the work that having somebody in the service, what that does, the family works as hard, almost as hard as they do oftentimes. And I wish you all a great weekend ahead and a week ahead, and we will see you next Friday night. Good night.